sauce smells like the collective cigarette. They exhaled in Idaho, I drove it down to Salt Lake. And I wonder what I'm doing here, all alone on stage. Oh, I wonder how I'm acting, am I looking my age? I don't know anymore. Top chairs, drinking those big beers. I've been gone so long. Wonder if they even care. Well, I don't know anymore. How can you tell? Rock bottom from the floor. No, I don't know. Not yet. Just keep spinning like your favorite first cassette. Mountain town, I'm about to play for tips. I'm about to throw it all down. Hope there's anyone inside, anyone who wants to listen. Cause I'm developing some kind of thin skin condition. I don't know anymore.
Was the song Cassette from Boston-based musician Kristen Ford. Kristen is playing in Paonia this Friday at a house concert, which is open to the public. It'll be at 216 North Fork Avenue, starting at 8 p.m. That's tomorrow. Dakin Henderson of Lost Cabin Productions, who also helps us out here at KVNF with our field sessions. The KVNF field sessions is hosting this show. And so I hope he has a big backyard. Because I think we're going to get a pretty nice turnout. I know you've been on tour, Kristen, for quite some time. How did Paonia make it onto your tour map?
Well, Dakin actually just sent me an email. He's on my mailing list, and he's like, I see you're coming through Colorado, but you should probably play in Paonia. And I was like, oh, really? But then he just had this great idea for a house show, and I really, in terms of my tour trajectory, you know, I play the major cities, but I really live for playing spots more off the beaten path and connecting with people that don't necessarily get exposed to, like, as much out-of-towners and culture in that way. Like, I'd much rather play in Paonia than in Brooklyn.
You have on your poster, it says the never-ending tour. How long have you been on tour, and why is it, why does it never end?
Well, I guess the Neverending Tour just kind of was like this nickname that stuck, but I've been on tour just about 13 months now, and it just kind of came out of wanting to move away from Boston and see what was out there, and outfitted this van. I got my girlfriend, put her in a van, and we both just like hit the road and haven't really looked back since then. So it's been pretty magical to kind of make new contacts and break new ground, and then have the opportunity to even like swing back and see people again and watch how things have evolved and build and it's just such a blast, and it's been a blessing to just make music my career these days.
It sounds like it's just been one big road trip, too. You've been able to see the country and visit lots of places and make new friends and that kind of thing, I imagine.
Yeah, and I really recommend for anybody who's got the wanderlust getting a national park pass, like an annual pass, because we've been to probably like 20 national parks from, you know, like Yellowstone to like Big Cactus to Olympic National Park, and it's just been so awesome to, you know, you play your shows on the weekends and then maybe Monday, Tuesday, just go climb a mountain and breathe some fresh air. I love it. It's going to be hard to go back to, I don't know, the structure of a normal job after living like this for over a year.
Do you have to, or can you just continue?
The plan is to just keep going. Next year, we're going to be moving to Nashville. So that will be maybe a more strategic place to tour from than New England. And, the idea is just to keep going back to the places that have been great. And maybe if they weren't so great, find a different angle to approach it. And, yeah, I just love seeing as much as I can out there.
What's been a couple of the highlights? I'm sure there have been quite a few, but where are the places you've gone where you're, like, definitely going back there?
I feel like the Pacific Northwest, like all of Oregon and Washington, I knew it was going to be cool, but I had no idea that people would have such a super strong reaction to the music and such overwhelming support. So it's kind of one of those things of like, oh man, how quickly can I come back there? And also, I don't know, like Fort Stockton, Texas was a huge surprise. Just this little town in the middle of nowhere, like off the highway between Austin and El Paso, and we played there on like a Monday night and people just lost their minds, and such nice folks and supportive crowd. I mean, it's not really that close to anything, but I think Fort Stockton will definitely be in the cards this next year.
Have you written some new music while you've been on this tour?
Yeah, definitely. It's been great for the Wanderlust. It's really good for writing, and over Christmas, I was back in Boston and recorded this live looping album called Tighten It Up, which features like 7 brand new songs. And then the rest is kind of more in the demo phase until I can actually have a little bit of space and time to practice. Because I just do like 165 shows a year or so. There's no practice space or like apartment to break apart ideas. It's just playing all the time.
Well, let's hear some of your music off of Tighten It Up, which is your latest EP. I was going to play Ramblin'. How does that sound?
It sounds awesome.
Here's Kristen Ford with her song Ramblin'.
Well, I know home when I see it. Like falling in love with you, just feel it, 'cause I had one night stands, I had one time friends, I got no return address, only where I'm headed next, I'm the rambling kind, I'm the rambling kind, no place in my mind. Real good at breaking eggs. I had one night stands, I had one time friends, I got no return address, only where I'm headed next, I'm the rambling kind, I'm the rambling kind, no place in my mind, I'm the rambling kind. Thank you.
that was the song Ramblin' from Boston-based musician Kristen Ford. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and I spoke with Kristen earlier this week by phone.
So who do you bounce off the new songs? Who's listening to them for the first time, usually?
I think that playing, like, slipping new songs into a show, like, between two really solid, established songs, so you play, like, your hit, and then you play a brand new one, and you struggle through it, and you see how people react, and you play another strong song. That's really been the best way. I mean, it's all well and good to nitpick over a song forever and then have it be really precious to you, but the best is just seeing how audience reacts to it. If they're kind of drifting off or they're losing interest, or, you know, then you know you need to cut down the song or add a more engaging bridge or stronger hook or something like that. So I think I really look at music as like a collaboration between the listener and the performer. So it's like a conversation. I need the audience to tell me what they think before I can be like, it's all done. I'm going to rest on my laurels.
Well, I was really excited to that you were coming to town after I saw a couple of your videos for Be Your Girl and El Camino. And I just think that you have a great style. It's pretty original. And I think there's sort of details in your songs that make it different and just make you a really good storyteller. And you're blending a lot of genres from folk to reggae to rock. How did you develop your style?
Yeah, I think it's partly just building off of my strength and, like, dipping into all of the different influences I have, because, you know, I love me some confessional singer-songwriter songs, but I also love, like, dubstep and dance music and disco and, like, heavy rock. I mean, it's really hard for me to just say, like, just this one style of music is what I want, but I think to be true to myself and my audience, it's been great to just keep writing songs and keep trying to figure out what is actually going to, like, fit into some kind of mold that doesn't necessarily throw people. I think from my first record I made in 2008 until, like, Tighten It Up that I released in 2015, there's definitely been a, like, I don't know, coming together rather than having, like, a country song into a pop-punk song into a folk song. It's going to kind of all have the same vibe. And I think that being a one-woman looping band really does confine the set, because I only have so many instruments and I only have so many means of, like, building up and breaking down a song. It kind of helps to put me in a box, which is something that I kind of struggle with because I love so many kinds of music.
Well, I guess a lot of musicians are trying to figure out how to define themselves. And you're a perfect example of a musician that when somebody said, what is she like? I kind of didn't know what to say, because I didn't really feel like you fell into some genre or category that easily.
Oh, well, thanks. But I'd hate to be the pretentious, you know, band where they ask you what you sound like and they're like, we're like nothing you've ever heard before. We're redefining music. You know, I try to have an elevator pitch, one woman looping indie rock.
Yeah,
band.
Yeah, that
but,
works.
You know, I kind of wanted my music to be, I don't like it when you go see a live band and you hear their first two songs and then you know the rest of the hour set is going to sound exactly like those two songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that audiences deserve to be more entertained and get their $5 or $10 worth, and, you know, keep the variety, keep people on their toes without alienating folks. You know, be like, oh, I wanted a folk concert. Now there's just screaming, like, a loop feedback of an analog delay pedal. I mean, I do a little bit of that, but hopefully not ad nauseum.
Really put you in your place. You could stay in bed for days, never ever. but you gave it up to me. And I'm thanking you. The least that I could do.
That was the song Love Before from musician Kristen Ford. I spoke with Kristen earlier this week by phone.
I read that your father sang in a barbershop quartet and now conducts some vocal groups at a gospel church, and your mother was more of a folky of the 60s and 70s, and you know, played a lot of Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and Simon and Garfunkel. That must have been a fun house to grow up in. Nice combo there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, like, I was raised to be very conscious of the fact that, like, I'm biracial and I can borrow from either the African-American tradition or, like, the more, I guess, Anglo-Saxon tradition of music. And it's something that I kind of am sometimes a little bit shy about talking about, just because I don't know. You can't assume that just because somebody's like in South Park, they had Token, the like black bass player, was just like awesome at playing bass just because he was black. And like, you can't put yourself in just a box of being like, I'm going to be good at this or that because of where I came from. But I think that my dad is a tremendous singer, and that's always kind of been like a, man, I'm not going to be able to sing as good as him, but maybe I could write a good song, or maybe I could, like, really tear up this guitar solo and kind of build myself up in that way. But people do seem to like my voice, so I guess, you're always your own worst critic.
You used to host some open mic nights in Boston, right? What do you appreciate about that format for performance, and what did you figure out about yourself during your open mic days?
Well, I think I learned that open mic hosts are some of the most kind and patient people in the world, and they probably have earned their angel wings. Sometimes I would lose my patience with some of my regulars coming in every week playing the same songs and never getting any better. But what is wonderful about open mic is when you see those people who start out being really shy and shaky, and maybe they're like apologizing before they even start to play their songs, and then week after week you just see them grow in confidence and get better and better, and if you work on those two songs until they're really solid, and then you get two more, and then all of a sudden you have 10 songs, you can go out and you can play a set. And just having a community of like other performers or songwriters that can say, hey, that was really great when you did this or that, or you're sitting there in the audience and you're like, oh man, this is absolutely killing me that like the guitar's not in tune. I mean, when people kind of mess up an open mic, you can learn more from that than the people who just completely have it together and are just fantastic. So I do kind of love that about open mics. You can see what works, what doesn't.
Where did you host it?
This was in Somerville, which is like a neighborhood of Boston, at the cafe called Block 11. And it was all ages, which was really nice to get to see high school kids come in, where a lot of times open mics are at bars, and so you got to wait till you're so old just to get on stage.
What have you played with bands before? How did you sort of get going on the solo performance that you do now?
Yeah, well, I got really inspired by this friend of mine and musician named Audrey Ryan, who she got kind of disillusioned with being a band leader, where the, you know, you have to put together the band, you have to book the shows, you have to pay everyone out, you have to hopefully have done all the promotion to get the people to the shows, and then, you know, what is the band really doing for you? So she kind of created this looping whole show, and it totally blew my mind when I saw it. So I had been touring for the past 5 years, like at least 100 shows a year, so trying to figure out how to make it work as a trio or as a duo or a solo, but I was missing the band. And so I just kind of, I figured out that economically it really makes the most sense for me to be like a one-woman band, and I was able to kind of tailor my songs and get the right loopers and equipment to really feel like I could create that full band sound just as a solo act. And it's taken a little bit of getting used to, because I love the camaraderie of when you're on stage and you can like look over at your drummer or your lead guitarist or whatever, and you just kind of cheer each other on, but you're all alone up there. And I don't know, it took a little getting used to, but I feel like I can own it now. And I'm happy being alone on stage.
And I've been speaking with musician Kristen Ford. Kristen's going to be playing a house concert on Friday, June 26th. That's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. in Paonia. It's at 216 North Fork Avenue. And hopefully I'll see some of you there. I'm definitely going to be there. And look forward to your visit.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Ellie.
Yeah, my pleasure. And we're going to go out with the song Devil's Garden from Kristen Ford. Thanks for tuning in to Talkin' Music. Stay tuned. Coming up next, All Songs Considered.
I went down to Devil's Garden, and the view was worth my soul. We came back, built up a fire. Life is more simple than the day before. And I wish it could always be like this. Yes, I wish it could be like this. Just exists. As we wait, the moon is arising, painting moon-colored rocks. I was always headed for that target. Sometimes it's so easy to get lost. And I wish it could always be like this. Yes, I wish it could be like this. Together just exist. Together we just exist.